Chapter 5. The Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Another event takes place in heaven after the judgment seat of Christ, before his return with his saints, namely, the marriage supper of the Lamb. The scripture that refers to it may again be cited. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19:7-9. In this heavenly scene we behold the consummation of redemption, in respect of the church, in her presentation to and everlasting union with the object of all her hopes and affections. A few preliminary words, however, may be necessary for the apprehension of the true character of this scene. From many passages of Scripture, we gather that the church is not only the body, please see the references in print, but also the bride of Christ. Paul thus tells the Corinthians, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2. Again, when expounding the duties of husbands to their wives, he enforces them on the distinct ground of marriage being a type of the union of Christ with the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:25-27. Once more, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verses 31-32. Here the Spirit of God carries us back to the formation of Eve out of Adam, and her presentation to and union with him as his wife, as a type of the presentation of the church to Christ, the last Adam. As long as he was down here as man, he abode alone. But a deep sleep, even the sleep of death, fell also upon him, according to the purpose of God, and as the fruit of his work, through the descent of the Holy Ghost, the church was formed and united to him, so that, as Adam said of Eve, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, Genesis 2:23, we, believers, can say, We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, Ephesians 5:30. But another thing is brought before us in the Ephesians. It is said that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. His love, therefore, was the source of all, his motive, in this aspect, for the gift of himself. Finding the one pearl of great price, valuing it according to the estimate of his own affections, he went and sold all that he had, and bought it, Matthew 13:46. He gave himself, and giving himself he gave all that love could give, for it. And he gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, thus making the church morally suitable to himself, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, etc. We have thus three steps, past, present, and future. He gave himself for it in his death upon the cross. He cleanses it, the process he is carrying on now through his intercession at the right hand of God, in answer to which there is the washing of water by the word, and he presents it to himself, which takes place at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all, every step, be it remarked, is the fruit of his love. If he still waits at the right hand of God, it is only that every one who is to be a part of his bride shall be brought in. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. John 6:37. And he has purchased, redeemed, all by the gift of himself. He will therefore keep his seat until the last of these is brought out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Then he will delay no longer. For the same love that moved him to give himself will impel him to fetch his bride. Hence he presents himself to the church, saying, Behold, I come quickly, reminding her that his love never wearies, that he is eagerly waiting for the moment when he can come to receive her unto himself. Having fetched his own, in the manner described in a former paper, and brought them into the Father's house, and having manifested all before his judgment seat, the time for the marriage has come, and it is this event which is celebrated in the passage cited from Revelation. It is the marriage of the Lamb, Revelation 19:7, and, as another has said, the Lamb is a figure or description of the Son of God, which tells us of the sorrows he endured for us. The soul understands this, and therefore this title, the Lamb's wife, tells us that it is by his sufferings the Lord has made her his own, that he so valued her as to give up all for her. Even now believers are united to Christ, but the marriage speaks of another thing. It is the time when all the believers of this dispensation, embracing all from Pentecost until the Lord's return, already glorified and looked at corporately, are fully and finally associated with the risen and glorified man, with the one who, in his own matchless grace and peerless love, has chosen the church to be his companion forever. He is, in the scene before us, on the eve of his appearing. But ere he returns to the place of his rejection, he will formally take into union with himself her who has shared in measure his sorrows and sufferings, that he may display her to the world as sharing in the same glory with himself. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. John 17:22-23. This refers to the time when he returns to take his power and reign. And earth his royal bride shall see, beside him on the throne. The marriage is preparatory to this public display, and is the expression of his own heart in thus bringing the church into participation with himself of his own glory and his own joy. Combining the scripture in Ephesians with that before us, it may be seen that the wife will be robed in a twofold beauty. Here we are told that his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. There it is said that he will present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:27. This last beauty is the result of what Christ has done for her. He gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Thereby, as already seen, he has made her morally a suitable companion to himself, and as he has now brought her before himself, she shines resplendent in his own beauty, reflecting his own glory. It is his own likeness he sees before him, reproduced in his wife, and he has thus made her the meet companion of his exaltation and glory. But the fine linen indicates another kind of beauty. It is the righteousness of saints, verse 8, the result, as before pointed out, of the manifestation before the judgment seat of Christ. This fact wonderfully enhances our conceptions of the grace of our God. If we do a single thing which meets his approval, it can only be through the power which he himself has given us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. And yet he will adorn us with all the fruit and beauty of that which has been brought out in and by us through his own grace and power. Every kind of beauty, therefore, both divine and human, will characterize the Lamb's wife, according to the perfection of God's thoughts and counsels, and according also to the mind and heart of the Lamb. Several distinct things mark the celebration of the marriage. First, there is the outburst of joy and praise as the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Verse 6. The marriage, indeed, as the chapter shows, is immediately before the coming forth in judgment of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and hence is on the eve of the world sovereignty of our Lord and his Christ, Revelation 11:15. Then they cry, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come," etc., verse 7. The nuptials of the Lamb, therefore, excite the wondering adoration of heaven, of all the servants of God, and of them that fear him, both small and great, verse 5. Last of all, John is commanded to write, "Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." The portion of the wife is as unique as it is incomparable, but even those who are invited to have fellowship with the joy of that day are pronounced blessed. And no wonder, for they are admitted to view the consummation of the desires of Christ, his joy in presenting to himself her for whom he had died, and who, made meet for her association with himself, was now robed in the glory of God. John 17:22, Revelation 21:10 and 11. It is therefore a day of unbroken joy, joy to the heart of God, joy to the Lamb and his wife, and joy to all who are permitted to behold this wondrous scene. But it is the Lamb himself who attracts our gaze as the prominent figure of that day, and it is called, as one has said, the marriage of the Lamb, not the marriage of the church or of the Lamb's wife, but of the Lamb, as though the Lamb was the one chiefly interested in that joy. The church will have her joy in Christ, but Christ will have his greater joy in the church. The strongest pulse of gladness that is to beat for eternity will be in the bosom of the Lord over his ransomed bride. In all things he is to have the preeminence, and as in all things, so in this, that his joy in her will be greater than hers in him. For thee his royal bride, for thee his brightest glories shine, and happier still, his changeless heart, with all its love, is thine.